The following is a lecture given by His Holiness Jaya Bhattaka Swami on October 3, 1983 in Atlanta, Georgia. The class begins with a reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th Canto, Chapter 7, Text 12.
Abhiratha Purusha Parichajaya Bhagavati Pravartha Mana Nuraga Bharadruta Hidaya Saitilya Prahasha Veganatmani Udbidhyamana Roma Pulaka Kulaka Outkantya Pravritta Pranaya Pashpa Piruddha Valokanayana Ebang Nijaramanaruna Charanara Vindanudhyana Parichita Bhakti Yogena Paripluta Paramaladha Gambhira Hidaya Hridavagadha Dishanastham Abhikriyamanam Bhagavat Saparjam Nasasmara. Translation by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. That most exalted devotee, Maharaj Bharat, in this way engaged constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. Naturally, his love for Vasudeva, Krishna, increased more and more and melted his heart. Consequently, he gradually lost all attachment for regulative duties. The hairs of his body stood on end, and all the ecstatic bodily symptoms were manifest. Tears flowed from his eyes, so much so that he could not see anything. Thus he constantly meditated on the reddish lotus feet of the Lord. At that time his heart, which was like a lake, was filled with the water of ecstatic love. When his mind was immersed in that lake, he even forgot the regulative service to the Lord. Translation with repetition. That most exalted devotee,
that most exalted devotee,
Maharaj Bharata,
Maharaj Bharata,
in this way,
engaged
constantly in the devotional service,
engaged constantly in the devotional service
of the Lord.
Of the Lord.
Naturally, his love for Vasudeva Krishna,
naturally his love for Vasudeva Krishna,
increased more and more,
increased more and more,
and melted his heart.
Consequently,
he gradually lost all attachment
for regulative duties.
The hairs of his body stood on end, and all the ecstatic bodily symptoms were manifest.
Tears flowed from his eyes,
so much so that he could not see anything. Thus he constantly meditated
on the reddish lotus feet of the Lord.
At that time his heart,
which was like a lake,
was filled with the water of ecstatic love.
When his mind was immersed in that lake,
he even forgot the regulative service to the Lord. Purport. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love for Krishna, 8 transcendental blissful symptoms are manifest in the body. Those are the symptoms of perfection arising from loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Maharaj Bharata was constantly engaged in devotional service, all the symptoms of ecstatic love were manifest in his body. Thus in the purport of text 12, chapter 7, canto 5 of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhaktivedanta purports in the matter of the activities of King Bharata. So Maharaj Bharata had given up kingdom. He was the emperor of the world, the wife, family, kingdom, power, money, fame. He was still young, not at the complete fag end of life, but he gave everything up, described just like a man gives up his fresh stool, runs off, just completely gave it up. But we can see here that instead what he got was pure love for Krishna, or at least ecstatic love for Krishna Bhava. That by constantly engaging in the devotional service of Krishna, he was able to advance to the point where simply by chanting the prayers to the Lord and meditating on his devotional, being engaged in devotional service, he would become filled with ecstasy. So one never loses by giving one's love, giving one's devotion to Krishna. Rather, one is the gainer so many times over. Unlimited times over. This ecstatic loving symptoms naturally are very attractive. In India, there are groups of so-called Vaishnavas or Upasampradayas, unrecognized deviant groups, and sometimes they imitate or they cultivate just manifesting these symptoms, although they're not always natural. More like an actor in a stage, they're able to produce them. Once we heard that there was a sadhu giving Bhagavatam lecture, and he had one person on either side of him carrying a hanky. As he was giving the class, the tears would be rolling, one would go like this. Then the other would go reach over like that. And the tears would just be pouring down. And I forget who it was, one of the devotees went backstage after the performance and caught him pulling the chilies out of his nose. He must have been a yogi not to sneeze. There's a story that Prabhupada told how Vaishnava, when Patak, one lecturer, was giving a Bhagavatam lecture, and in the front row there was a lady, and every time he would make a very strong point, she'd start crying. So he'd be making, you know, so many devotional points. She'd just be crying, and he'd start thinking, this is a great devotee. And just completely absorbed. So after the class was over, he had one of his assistants call her, was her great devotee, and saying that, what was it that was making you cry every time I was making these points? Was your realization? I just lost my coat and his beard was just like yours. Every time I see you, I just get it. So Prabhupada said, you have to be careful not to take it every time somebody cries, that it means they're in ecstatic devotion. Because we see something right here, it mentions clearly that his heart, which was like a lake, was filled with the water of ecstatic love. In other words, his emotion, his devotional ecstasy was coming from the heart. It wasn't a mental adjustment, it wasn't a physical prompted thing. It was something which just like the heart was just flooding, becoming like a lake, and he was taking swims in it. It was something coming right from the heart, spontaneously. So much so that he would be so regulated every morning doing sun puja, meditating how the sun is a representation of Narayan, He would be always absorbed in various type of chanting of mantras, but sometimes he'd get so overwhelmed by the ecstasy that he would forget what time of day it was, what regulative thing he was supposed to do. But it was something completely spontaneous. So that should be noted, that it's not an artificial imposition upon the mind. As Prabhupada in that original record player, that recording stated, it is something which is happening spontaneously from the heart. The key word here, repeated several times, engage constantly in the devotional service. Thus he constantly meditated, since Maharaj Bharat was constantly engaged. In other words, if a person wants to develop ecstatic devotional service, wants to become completely absorbed in Krishna consciousness, then it has to be constant. Ahaitu kyapati yata, causeless and unbroken, aparti hata, without any break, even a little vacation to Maya, that can interrupt one's progress. One time Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, they decided to go to Shantipur to see Advaita Gosai. And on the way, there was a sadhu in the Godrum Dweepa side of Navadweep. He requested them to please come visit his ashrama. He offered them a nice seat. He was very respectful. They were discussing. He said, please take a little prasad. He brought out some fruit. They said, we don't take outside. He said, well, your Brahma, just take some fruit. He brought out some fruit. In the course of the conversation, he asked if they'd like to have a little wine. He said, what? Helps the meditation. They realized that this was one of those imitation sadhus who was taking wine and so many other things. So immediately they just jumped up. And they felt completely polluted that they had taken food which had been touched and given by someone who wasn't strictly following the regulative principle. They ran to the Ganges and threw themselves in with their whole clothes on. Just like that. He's just talking, and the next second they're up and run. So Lord Chaitanya, he respected someone who was trying to be Krishna conscious. But someone who was putting a profile of being a great devotee or a sadhu, but who in fact was not even following the regular principles, who was not constant in the devotion, Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda, they didn't accept their offerings, what to speak of higher benediction. One time, Srila Prabhupada got a letter. Maybe Panchavita Maharaj was there in the sanctum. You were in Bombay at one point, were you? He got a letter from one couple, Western couple, and he read it out or described it during a class in Bombay to the Indian Life members, which was in a darshan, private darshan, I believe. How this couple wrote him that we are aspiring to be your disciples. We are very attracted to the Hare Krishna movement. We are, however, feeling ourselves very unqualified. You're trying to control our sex desire, but we're very ashamed. Sometimes we are swept away and we fall down. So we're trying to chant every day our 16 rounds. Sometimes we're falling short. We're trying to control the desire for intoxication. But sometimes due to the influence of our friends, we smoke or something. We're working, we're trying to get rid of all these habits. We want to become completely pure. Now we're able to We've given up meat and fish and eggs. We're vegetarians. We're very anxious for your mercy that although we're so fallen that sometime in the future we'll be able to come up to the purity to become your disciples. So Prabhupada expressed his crying to see how they're struggling. How they're struggling with Maya. This struggle is glorious. Trying to conquer over the senses for Krishna. To engage in Krishna's service purely, constantly. Prabhupada was admonishing these life members. Many Kanishtha Adhikari devotees, they don't try to control the senses. They are satisfied with doing some minimum amount of devotion, which is no doubt beneficial for them. But to come to the higher platform, it is actually glorious to try to conquer the impulses of the senses, to try to become purified, not to be self-satisfied with an inferior platform. Then one will be on the road of perfection. Srila Prabhupada said to some sannyasis that if you control your sex desire, then 50% of your battle is finished. 50%. So another 50%. In other words, even after the four regulative principles, a person controls completely. Then you still have fame, distinction, adoration, kuti nati, different kinds of duplicitous tendencies. So many other impurities are there in the mind. So that struggle will go on. Initially it may be a struggle just to follow a principle. But the struggle goes on until one finally reaches Krishna's lotus feet. Even if one has the ecstasy, one should not become complacent or careless, because that is still a preliminary stage of pure love for Godhead. Prema, where one will actually have the realization of Krishna and transcend the material mind, is the only position from where it is almost impossible or highly unlikely. I don't know the exact adjective to use. Normally, once you get back from the material world and reach pain, you don't fall down again. The only infallible position. As you are actually liberated from the material consciousness, it is considered a completely liberated state. Although this also liberated, Bharat Maharaja will not be getting any karma by his devotional service. So in one sense, he's also liberated. But if he's careless, if he's inattentive, if he forgets the words of his guru, and allows again any kind of material weed or attachment to grow, it could, at least temporarily, hold him up. Of course, we know that something like that did happen. Minor delay. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his special mercy is that this ecstasy that Maharaj Bharata is achieving, that ecstasy he gives very quickly. Even Srila Prabhupada, one of his purports in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, describe how some of these unauthorized groups, just by repeatedly chanting the name of Lord Chaitanya, they become ecstatic. They start to laugh or cry. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, his specialty is that his special nomenclature or his special uniqueness is that he is not accepting offenses in chanting the holy name. If a person were just to chant the name Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, it takes a very regulated life, great purity, considerable constant attention. And then, it's like Maharaj Bhart, he left up everything, living in the forest, doing a regulated worship, wearing a deer skin, eating just a little bit, everything very regulated. Chanting constantly, worshiping, always staying engaged, no material attachments. No offenses to the Vaishnavas. There wasn't anybody there. Then he was able to get this love for Krishna, preliminary love for Krishna, ecstatic love for Krishna. It was given by Krishna previously, but to those who were completely nirmatsaranam, completely free of all enviousness, all offenses. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, not that he's promoting that one should be offensive or anything, but he knows that everyone has got so many embarrassing mentalities, so many defects. He's giving the mercy that if you chant Hare Krishna, taking shelter of him under his order, he gives immediate mercy, which normally would take a lot longer to achieve. So once one gets a taste for Lord Chaitanya's mercy, a taste for this transcendental happiness, then one should be very careful to give up anything which could be offensive. It's the only responsible thing to do. Srila Prabhupada expressed it's like in a feast, the kids are always very impatient. So you give them the dessert first. But Lord Chaitanya is actually is giving the dessert first. He's giving you a little taste of ecstasy first. You see. Then you go back to the main course. You also still have to go through the principles of devotional service. Not that we neglect them. But even someone might come just in a Rath Yatra festival off the street, start chanting, and then feel some great happiness. Just like a Nama Bhas, a special mercy of Lord Chaitanya, which normally would be highly unlikely in the ordinary circumstances without Lord Chaitanya's mercy. See, but not that they should, once they're getting the higher taste, they can get just a drop of the ocean of happiness they will experience when they become pure. The special rain of benediction by Lord Nitai Gaur, so that we can come up to the higher platform very easily. We pray, Ha Ha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi. Akkono daya koro ami bolo dukhi. Give me your mercy now, Lord Nityananda. Lord Nityananda, you are Premananda Sukhi. You are completely the personification of transcendental happiness and ecstasy and love for God. Just like Miniketam Ramdas, his devotee, we find in Chaitanya Charitamrita, he'd go, he'd just touch somebody with his flute. They start becoming ecstatic. That fisherman, when he was, when Lord Chaitanya had run into the ocean and was floating, he picked up Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he touched him. And there are all the associates of Lord Chaitanya going up and down the beach looking, where is Lord Chaitanya, for miles. And they saw this man completely afraid. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And then he said, what's the matter? He said, I've been possessed. He's a ghost there. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. So then Sarup Damodar, he could see that, where is this ghost? Well, it must be Lord Chaitanya. No, I've seen Chaitanya. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama. I've seen Lord Chaitanya. This is some terrible thing, 9 feet long, the boy. Skin is all loose. Bones are hanging, everything, and they're going chug-a-chug, chug-a-chug, chug-a-chug. Yeah. It's making this terrible sound. I didn't know that Lord Chaitanya in ecstasy stretches out, he's saying chug-a-chug, chug-a-chug, just comes out, gargling sound. So then, Sarup Damodar said, I know how to cure these things. Just whack, 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 slap them 3 times. All right, The ghost is gone. Just because the guy was so hysterical, you see. He was overwhelmed with love for Krishna, but he was ignorant, so he was all afraid. So when he slapped him 3 times, then, now you're all right. He was still chanting. And then anyone possessed by a ghost, they don't chant Hare Krishna like that. So then like this, so, of course then they bathed Lord Chaitanya, chanted Hare Krishna, and he came back together. So like that, Lord Nityananda, when he would meet someone, easily give them ecstasy. Aha Premananda Sukhi. So that's the point, that if we get that drop of ecstasy, if it fills our heart, when our heart is like filled with a lake of Krishna, of prema, of Krishna, bhava, of ecstatic love for Krishna, you see, then the room for material attachment, the room for material attachment is not there. The room for falling into illusion is not there. See, if someone becomes complacent in that ecstasy and forgets to refer to the Guru step by step, then of course there's still some danger. But in general, it's not difficult to control the senses because the heart's already full. The desires, everything are satisfied. There's no room for material desire to come in. So that's the easiest way, is if we can get the mercy of Lord Nityananda to fill our heart with ecstasy and love of Krishna. Like that we pray for Lord Nityai Gaura's mercy. Add something, Srila Siddhanta Prabhu? Give us some nectar. Yes, I brought the slideshow if anyone wants to see it tonight. You got a slide projector last time I was here, right? It's still working? It did. Well, I'll say it tonight. The slideshow.
How many people participated?
More than you can count. Somewhere between 1 and 2 million. But don't believe me. See you tonight. I mean, don't take my word for it. Well, it was the whole... Last year, you know, the communist government said that this is your last year. After this, no more Rath Yatras. There was a Rath Yatra this year. I had to go from here. It was such a rush. Mahavir raced me, was it? No, it was not. You got me, Ray. You were busy that time. Someone raced me to the airport. Just barely got the flight, flew to London. I was 279 on the waiting list. On the Air India. On the Air India flight. Somehow the computer just went and put my name on. They told me you're 279 and the guy came back and looked again and said, oh no, it's on, okay. One of the bites was the devotee. Got to just 11 at 11 evening. 12 was the Rath Yatra. It was very nice, but I don't want to spoil the very nice program. It's a 9-day festival. One day Rath is going 10 miles, six to 8 hour procession.
Then
10. It takes a week, then you have 1 week to rest up for the return run.
Then you have a week to go 10 miles.
And 7-day big festival. We build the temple. We build the whole temple out of cloth. We have a big top the size of a football field. Holds about 15,000-20,000 people. And we have a carnival ground, where there's question-answer booths and book tables and exhibitions. Mm-hmm. Any questions? Are you going to say? That's all you wanted to say?
We also have brought the exhibition about Jaya.
Jaya.
Seven brought the Yatra for the heart and the chariot that came down for that.
Jaya.
Heard very much of what he said. I'm sure they listened to him, but most of the time they were just looking at him. He had been in Mexico for 2.5 years.
They were so hungry there, I didn't even have to speak, they were just absorbing.
Father took him a few days to actually realize that he was there.
No other questions? Any questions? I don't know. The Samadhi in Vrindavan, I haven't seen it. I don't know how much the progress is going there, but I heard they're working on it. trying to finish it up. But in Mayapur, the dome of the Samadhi is finished, and then they put up the top ring beam for the upper last chura, what do you call it? Last dome. And they're doing all kinds of work around it. There's like four towers that come on all sides of the Samadhi in Mayapur, and those two of them are up about 70 feet now. There was Bhakti Siddhanta Das Adhikari. He has set up a factory for making bronze panels and deities and dioramas, and they found all the raw materials that you can get in the West. They found there, in fact, they found that they were 1/2 to 1/3 the price, latex and things like that. So they have a few devotees there all working together from different parts of the world, and they're building these beautiful panels for the Samadhi in Vrindavan now, because that's to be opened very soon. They have Prabhupada at Thompson Square Park. They made it, the panel must be about 10 by 6 or maybe 12 by 8. It's a huge thing. So they make this big panel and they take it apart piece by piece and make latex moldings, and they have a whole thing. They built a big shed for the operation. Then they have on the outside there a special place for foundry, for smelting the bronze material and casting it. So it's a pretty highly technical thing. They said if one drop of water is inside that mold, the whole thing would explode like about a kilo of TNT. I always ask them to tell me whenever they're casting. But they seem pretty expert. They're making all these things. I guess you have to be to do this. They've also hired some people to help them. So they have this two big sheds, and they're making all of these big dioramas and murals and castings. So there's a lot of finishing work going on there now already. The dome, all the inside, all the shuttering and scaffolding, everything has been taken down. And some devotee found that the dome has got a hyperbolic effect, that if you go in one specific spot, just in front of where the deity is going to be, and chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna! It comes back like that. So when no one's looking, you find the devotees going Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. But because it's rainy season and it's the work is going on, but gradually, not in the winter normally, it picks up in a fast way. I opened up the temple in Guwahati, was constructed by the devotees there under Baba Bhuti Das. I think he was originally connected for some period in Florida?
Yeah, he was Bach the Bob. He was on the bus with us.
So, ex-Bach the Bob is the regional secretary of Assam. Assam, you might read in the papers, it's a troubled area. There are always, there's some disturbance there because a lot of influx of refugees from Bangladesh has created a political turmoil. So there's demonstrations and everything by the local people who don't want to become a minority in their own state due to refugees coming from another country. So there's a lot of difficulty there. In the midst of this three-year ongoing difficulty, he married an Assamese girl, but even then they wouldn't let him easily go there. He has to only get a permit once every few months. But somehow he was able to construct a three-story guest house, a little bit smaller than Mayapur's, about half size. But very nice, and now he's turned that into the Bhaktivedanta Hilltop School. And then now he's constructed a temple which is unique. It has some of the, it's got a dome in it, instead of in the middle of the temple, so there are no beams. Like in the Kirtan Hall area, he was able to get a special design for a shell dome. So it's a very, but it's quite big. It's about 80 feet by 30 feet. It's unusual to have a shell dome that size. Quite inexpensive also. He went to some the best architect in India, who had the big computers in the West, and they figured out how to do this dome. So there, we moved the deities from the Bhaktivedanta Hilltop School to the temple on Janmashtami morning. Very nice program, yagyas and everything. Then, but it was, when I went to Assam, the day before, there was a Assam Banda, which means that everything is stopped, it's a strike. For 36 hours, from 6 in the morning till 9 the next night, or 6 the next night, nobody can go out on the street, can shop, can do anything. If you do, it's at your risk of your life. So, when I arrived there, it was a bun. There was no buses, no taxis, nothing. No one go because people would just throw a brick through the window or something. So I had to go by escorted military vehicle to the temple, with machine guns and everything. It was a whole, it's like going in the middle of a war zone. But everything worked out very nicely. So from there, we flew down to Mayapur on Janmashtami afternoon, got to Mayapur. There are two ministers from the left coalition in Mayapur were the chief guests for Janmashtami. One of them gave this fiery speech how Srila Prabhupada's teaching was the only solution to the world's problems, that it had the universal vision that there would be no political system, even communism, would fail without God consciousness. You know, I mean, being a left guy, so, you know, he has to say, even communism. But for them, you know, normally they are complete atheists. So he was saying that, he was promoting that there had to be some God consciousness, who knows, maybe a forerunner of the future. But they were very much impressed by the whole program there. We had a big yagya at 1 o'clock that night, and at midnight, of course, we had the abhishek for the deities. So all India television came there and photographed, shot the whole bathing of Radha Madhav. And when I got in Madras a week later, all the life members said they had seen it on television. So it had been broadcasted all over India. Mayapur. And Prabhupada always wanted Mayapur should be known by all the Indians and by all the people in the world. So it's the first time that Mayapur got a, you know, real, I mean, direct darshan of Radha Madhav Abhishek all over India at the 7:30 news. And the Vyas Puja day, especially like all India radio, television gave a Vyas Puja offering to Prabhupada the next day. They prepared about 1,000 preparations for Vyas Puja. So usually what happens, we always get about 150 Vaishnavas from all the neighboring temples in Navadvip in Mayapur come for Prabhupada's Vyas Puja. About a dozen come for the lectures. and 150 it gets, just happened to show up at the time of the arti and prasadam. But it's our tradition always to serve them sumptuously. So normally, a lot of them follow various restrictions like no eggplant, no this, no that, no portals, no thin bean, no, you know, they have all these little rules. Chaturmas. Chaturmas upa niyams or sub-rules. So, which normally for the preachers is not considered very important. But even them, when they bring out, we have these big 12-foot tables, you know, 12-foot by 3 tables, all the hundreds and hundreds of little bowls are on there. When they see that, they just say, Jai Radhe, Jai Gaur. It's actually, that's just like Maharaj Bharat. Sometimes in his ecstasy, he would not become so attached to these little regular rules like that. So, which side, face, and this and that when you're doing this, and just, you know, so many little things. But just like, all right, and this month, we follow the basic thing, no spinach, no milk, no urd dal. But, you know, there's so many other rules that, you know, don't shave, and only shave on this day, and there's many rules like that, that if they want to, they can follow, additional. But in the face of all the ecstatic offering that was made to Prabhupada and the deities, Nanda Utsav Day, and they, see, each one of them having a feast, so the 150 are coming and we're having a feast, it's something very special. Every temple has a feast on that day. So they're coming because it's a very special, opulent, you know, incomparable experience. And then they all request that, can they take a little, you know, they wrap up in their cloth a little pot full. And sometimes they have a program where they line up all the gurukul, 100-yard dash. Whatever's left on the plates, they put out and they just run. We stopped that because there's a lot of waste. But for a couple of years they were doing that. It's very enthusiastic. We spread out the tables, give the little kids a chance. That was the Janmashtami festival. Things are coming up very nicely in Mayapur. We're getting a new elephant. The gardens are expanding. And they have a special now aviary. Cockatoo birds, minor birds, all kind of birds. Government wants us to the zoological department. We have some rare deer, special antelopes. So they want to get one pair of deer from us, and they'll give us in exchange some spotted deer. And that will give official recognition to our animal farm if we have an official transaction with the zoological department. So then we can go on expanding our little zoo there. Which is very nice, actually, for preaching. People come and they like to see the deers. And they haven't got permission for a kangaroo yet from Australia. Vishnupada is trying to bring it in. This is their national heritage. They don't want to give it up. Although there are rodents there, they just shoot them on the road. They don't care. Run over them. But they won't let anyone leave the country because right now, if you want to see a kangaroo, you got to go to Australia or to a zoo. So if we get more recognized, we might be able to get some kangaroos too. If any of you are visiting New Orleans, you can see the Indian white tiger. It's on display there. New Orleans. In the zoo. Many temples in South India have big, big zoos, big, big animal sanctuaries. It's very common. In South India, in the temple Guruvayur, they have 50 elephants. They all, sometimes in a big festival, they have the deities in the middle and 25, 25 on each side. And they go around and circumambulate the temple. In normal festivals, they have 6, 8, 14 elephants. This one elephant would every day go and offer his obeisances before the temple. And when the elephant would come up and be every day fanning the deity in procession, backing up and fanning. And when finally the elephant was like, he stopped eating, he was very old, and then There was something they wouldn't let him go to the deity that day or something. He became roaring and just ripped out the chain right in his cane, and boom, everyone was really afraid. And he came, and right in front of the deities, he offered the obeisances and died. There's a lot of stories about these. There was one, they tried to take one of the temple elephants from Guru Vayur to be the mascot in Delhi for the Asian Games. Didn't want to leave. Didn't want to go. They had to think of another alternative. No Maya service, only Krishna service. Anyway, I'll just tell you some more. A lot of recent things have been happening, but I don't want to delay any further. Hare Krishna.